You know, whether you were looking for it or not, have you ever stumbled across something of incredible value that was just a complete surprise to you? Has that ever happened to you? 1981, some people were walking the beach in Goleta, California, just west of Santa Barbara, out near the university there, after a powerful winter storm had swept away much of the sand. And the big toe of one of the walkers hit what he thought was a log mostly buried in the remaining sand. But it wasn't a log. It was a ship's cannon made of iron from the 1700s. And when they were done, there were actually five of them recovered there once the archaeologists arrived and started digging. They were excavated, restored. Now they sit in the museum there in downtown Goleta, if you want to go see them. Late 1970s, when I was first exposed, another example, to photographs, furniture, heirlooms from my father's side of the family back in western Pennsylvania, I was just in awe. Looking at these things, it was like I was looking through a window that opened up to me part of who I am, where we come from. And since that time, over the years, I have come into possession of most of those things, found myself the family archivist on the Fearer side of the family. And then just a year ago, I was back in Pennsylvania visiting some cousins, and I learned of a distant relative that I didn't know of before, who is a descendant of my great uncle Nicholas Fearer. I contacted the man. He took me to what had been Nicholas's farm, the family cemetery in the woods out at the back of the property, just out in the middle of nowhere. Saw the headstones of four of Nicholas's five children, having all died in childhood from the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918. That was the deadliest in history, by the way. 675,000 Americans died that year of the flu. It's just 100 years ago. We don't know that story, do we? He showed me some pictures of ancestors I'd never seen before, my great uncle Nicholas with his wife. I was just in awe. I wanted them for my own, you know. He made me copies, gave them to me. How about you? The most precious thing that you've ever run across, you've ever found, whether you were looking for it or just stumbled upon it. And then, even more importantly, what did you do with it or about it once you realized what it was and recognized then its value to you? You know, Jesus talks about only one thing in those terms, and that would be the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. You hear about that all the time if you're in churches. Let's define that, and let's actually use the Lord's Prayer to get us started. Your kingdom come. How does it go? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, wherever and in whomever, the will of God, that is the just and righteous thoughts, attitudes, and actions of God, find a home and are carried out. Wherever and in whomever the life of God and the lordship of God reigns supreme, wherever Jesus Christ is found, he embodied the kingdom just in his own life. Wherever Jesus Christ is followed, that would be where the kingdom of God is found. And so we can really say in all truth that the kingdom of God is right here. It's right now. It's in you. It's among you. It's here. Where does Jesus talk about the kingdom of God? Well, he talks about it in the book of Matthew and Mark and Luke, first three books of the New Testament, and also in the Gospel of John, but not so much there. How does Jesus talk about the kingdom of God? Well, he does that in the stories that he told, in parables. What is a parable? We're reviewing now. That's a good thing to do every once in a while, right? A parable is a story or a brief scenario, sometimes just a couple of sentences long, that takes what is common and understood from people's everyday experience and uses that common thing to reveal and explain an uncommon, a misunderstood, or an unknown thing, which lies outside of people's everyday experience, but which they need to know about, a spiritual thing. A parable is always asking and answering this question: what is the uncommon, unknown, misunderstood thing like in our everyday experience. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, there are seven parables just back to back in that one chapter, and each one of them are all about, wouldn't you know, the kingdom of God, every one of them, or the kingdom of heaven, as Matthew has Jesus calling it. In Matthew chapter 13, which is where we are this morning, Jesus says these things. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like, well, number one, he says it's like a seed sown in different soils, not making it in three of them, but remarkably fruitful in the fourth. We spent 4 weeks working through that one just earlier in the fall. Then Jesus says this, he says, the kingdom of heaven is also like good seed sown with bad seed sown alongside of it by an enemy, so that the wheat and the weeds grow up together. And then finally, they are separated out at harvest time. That's Jesus' reference to the judgment at the end of history. The wheat gathered into the barn, the weeds gathered to be burned. He goes on to say, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is like a tiny mustard seed growing up into this huge bush, almost like a tree that gives shelter and shade to everything around it, not to mention mustard. Any mustard lovers out there? I don't know. I'm really a mustard lover. He says the kingdom is like a little bit of yeast that whenever it's applied to the dough, it makes this dough grow into these delicious, huge, nutritious loaves of bread. He says it's like a precious treasure that's found and purchased at great price, at a great sacrifice. He says it's like a pearl of great price that's discovered and bought with everything that one has. He says it's like a broad net that's cast out there catching all kinds of fish. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, it's powerful, it's precious, it's effective wherever and in whomever the just and righteous thoughts and attitudes and actions of the living God find a home and are carried out. And when you see and understand that, it's like stumbling across something of incredible value. So let's zero in now on two of those parables in chapter 13. We're going to pick it up at verse 44. Jesus says this. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has and he buys that field. Again, Jesus continues, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, and on finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all he had and bought it. Now let's look at both of those once again. In fact, I want us to read them out loud together. Are we ready to do that? Let's start with the first one. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all he had and bought it. Now, what I want you to do right now is just to think about those two parables and just observe, what do you see there in those little stories, just on the face of them? Similarities, differences, what sparkles, what jumps out at you? I want you to turn to the person next to you. You have 1 minute and tell them what you see. 60 seconds. You can see I put my glasses on just to see who's out there. Take and roll. You know how that is. No. So two parables, in one a farmer, in the other a businessman. In one a poor man with his plow, in the other a rich man with his enterprise. The farmer is likely plowing his field, minding his own business, and stumbles upon something. You know, some people meet God like that. The merchant, on the other hand, is searching and finds what he already believes is out there in the marketplace. Some people meet God like that. For both of them, what they find has been there all along, but it's hidden, it's unrecognized. In one, it's buried in a field. In the other one, it's buried in a marketplace. The kingdom of God is like that. What both of them find is of immense, almost immeasurable value beyond their normal means to purchase. The kingdom of God is like that. The farmer reburies it, the merchant keeps quiet about it, and then they both do something identical that is so radical it is just easy to pass over. What is that? They sell all they have. They sell all they have. And apparently it takes all they have to acquire what they have found. Have you ever sold off some of your things? Sure, rummage sale, personal garage sale, whatever. Have you ever sold off a property that you owned, or maybe several properties if you have a lot of stuff in your portfolio? You know, when I moved to Turkey in 2004, I had a big yard sale. And then I sold almost every piece of furniture that I have, and then I sold my house. Kept things of value to me, put them in storage for 8 years. Kept all the money, put it elsewhere. But in these two parables, we see people selling off things they once thought they needed, once thought they couldn't live without, and not keeping the money for themselves. Selling everything you have, what would that be like? All in order to buy something of such value, of greater value than you had ever encountered so far in your life, and now is available to you, but it has a price tag. The kingdom of God is like that. What would it be like to say to your friends and family, I just sold everything? What would they say? What on earth for? What drove you to sell everything? Having been a mission worker in Turkey, you know, I have a lot of missionary friends. And I have this one friend, a Canadian, who served with me there, and we got to know each other in Istanbul when we were living there. But he'd been in Turkey for a long time, since the early 1980s, as a young man, and he had been out east in the Kurdish territory along the Assyrian and Iraqi and Iranian borders. They all border eastern Turkey. And he was one of the first Western mission workers to learn Kurdish in recent times. There were no grammars available. You just had to find somebody who could speak it and figure it out with a group of people. He was one of these real pioneer type people, going where you and I would just think, man, I don't want to go there. In those younger missionary days, as a single guy, he was in love with his wife-to-be, who was also a mission worker, but she was stationed at a greater distance, even a different continent. They were corresponding by mail, no cell phones, no internet. And he was lovesick, with zero money, desperately missing her. He told me at one point that he was so desperate, he sold his bed to buy an air ticket to go see her. Yeah, isn't that kind of romantic? And when he arrived at her doorstep, he was, well, overjoyed, as was she. And now we're getting at what will make you sell what you have, what will make you sell what you thought you needed. Not out of some religious should, but rather out of love, out of joy, out of desire. The kingdom of God is all about desire, really wanting it. Jesus Christ is all about desire. He is completely driven by desire in his own life. We give up the things that we love for the sake of the things that we love more, don't we? The parable says that the farmer, in his joy, did you see that? He goes and he sells all that he has and buys that field. And we assume the same thing for the merchant with his pearl. Both of them, as one writer put it, carried away by their, they were just carried away, he says, by their joy over what they found. They sell absolutely everything they have and buy the new precious reality. The kingdom of God is like that when you see it for what it is. Joy is the engine of that kind of sacrifice. To see someone or to see something for what it really is, for your eyes to be open to discover it in all of its beauty and all of its life and all of its riches, all of its promise, that demands something of you. Nobody tells the farmer, nobody tells the businessman to sell everything. The treasure tells them. The pearl tells them. Finding leads to the selling. Joy enables the selling, but only the selling gets you the treasure. Entering God's kingdom, possessing God's kingdom as your own, it's like a decisive and uncompromising selling of everything else, Jesus says. The joy of finding and the demand of selling make possible the purchasing and the possessing. The kingdom of God is like that when you see it for what it is. So here's a little piece of that kingdom of God treasure that explains the joy at finding it and the impulse to let go of everything else, all the lesser things that you're clinging to in order to get a hold of it. It's actually written right over there. All is forgiven. That's what it says on the wall. All is forgiven. Some of you are desperate to hear that this morning. Some of you are desperate to actually believe it in your heart. It's true. This gift of total forgiveness given by God as a gift, all is forgiven. Finding that, what do you need to sell in order to fully possess that, to enter into the freedom of that? How about this? Your refusal to forgive others. You can sell that. All is forgiven is the treasure found. It's the pearl of great price that is purchased. But to enter fully into the joy of that forgiveness, for you to fully take hold of and buy it, you must sell your right to withhold forgiveness from other people. You got to get rid of that. Oh, this morning we baptized this young, mature gal. That was just awesome. We brought in these new members. You know, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you don't immediately forgive everybody around you who's ever hurt you. That's just a work in progress. But what you do is you immediately give up your right not to forgive. You give up your right. That's what you sell. The joy of all is forgiven, I am forgiven, finding that and possessing that leads to a radical selling off of all kinds of things. But in this case, as I am fully forgiven, if not now, then one day, so now I fully forgive you and you and even you. Selling means surrendering your claim to whatever would keep you from possessing the treasure that you've found and making it yours. Saying yes to the treasure and no to everything else. Saying no to all the unforgiveness towards others that you've saved up in your little bank account. That's baptism, actually. It's a radical selling off. Saying yes to him and saying no to everything else that wants to get between you and him. And that's church membership as well. New people standing up and publicly saying yes to Jesus Christ and yes to all of you, and then all of you saying yes to them and yes to each other, so that you can better say yes to him and say no to all the competition out there, because you just can't do it by yourself. You know, as we wrap up this message, I'm really struck with the focus of the farmer and the discipline of the merchant. These parables of sold-out followers of Jesus, these lovers of God's kingdom. They are not distracted by anything else once they find the treasure, once they behold the pearl. The treasure, the pearl, the kingdom, that's all they now see. That's all they think about. That's all their efforts now serve. It's like a young person being in love. Sell all you have for it. Sell your bed if you have to. Anything and everything to possess it. And here's the full treasure. Here's the full pearl in all of its beauty and power. Let's say it together. It's just the stuff on the side walls. It's going to be on the screen. You ready? God can be trusted. Everything is in Jesus. All is forgiven. Everybody matters. God defends the weak and oppressed. Everybody has a calling. Life is a daring adventure. Anything is possible. The Spirit empowers. Self-giving is the secret. Suffering has value. The Bible is a map. Prayer changes things. That is the kingdom of God, just all summed up in your own words. That is the treasure. That is the pearl. Sell all you have for that. All in and sold out for that. That's Glenkirk. Do not be distracted away from that, no matter what else is offered to you, no matter what happens to you, no matter what anybody says or does or writes about you. Don't get hooked in. Don't get distracted. Stay disciplined, stay focused. You know something, for the last 2 years, most of our time in here on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights over at the table service have been consumed with two things, the Sermon on the Mount and the Book of Acts. That's plenty to stick with. Stick to that. Fix your gaze on that treasure, on that pearl, on that kingdom, on his face, and on his life, and on his death, and then on his life again. That's about enough for this morning. I've got more to say. I've got a couple more weeks to say it. I want to pray for you right now as we take all this in. Father, again, we come to you through the Son and the Holy Spirit. We bless you and we praise you. You have revealed to us this treasure, this pearl. Give us eyes to see, which will then trigger our hearts to passionately sell everything we have in order to have that thing that we so long for, that we so thirst and hunger for. Identify the things that we need to sell off that are getting in the way. And we pray this in the name of the crucified one who's risen and coming again, which is our hope. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.